If you'd all stand for a gospel reading. That's from, and this is also my sermon text. It's from John chapter 14, starting with verse 15. This is Jesus speaking. If you love me, keep my commands, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him, because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me, because I live, you also will live. On that day, you will realize that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Whoever has my commands and keeps them is the one who loves me. The one who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love them and show myself to them. You may all be seated. I've had several times in my life, but most impactfully recently, where I read this stuff in the scripture about the Holy Spirit and about how he's supposed to bring us peace and joy and be impactful in our lives and all this. And I look at the early church and I'd be like, oh gosh, I see this stuff that happened in the early church and the power. And so why do I feel this lack of contentment? Why do I feel restless? Why do we not see in the American church that's something I've like what happened in the early church? I look at it and I'm like, God, and that's something that I've been recently processing, dealing with, and maybe that's something that some of you in your life, maybe some of you are lacking contentment right now, always looking for the next thing. And I'm saying this because I'm describing myself a month ago. Restlessness, wondering why you're so full of anxiety and don't have peace. When God's supposed to be a God of peace, why am I so consumed by fear? Why is my life a mess, or even just falling apart, or not even that severe, but why is it just like hard to balance and hard to manage, and it just doesn't seem, I'm not seeing in myself what I should see based on what the scriptures say. And so we have this promised Holy Spirit, and Jesus promises to disciples that in John 14, that the Spirit, that he'll give them an advocate, he'll give them somebody to be with them. So I'm going to turn to John 14, and like I said, he says in verse 16, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. And we know all the promises of the Holy Spirit and all these, we read the Bible and see all this stuff happening. But I think we sometimes think it's like a carte blanche thing that you're just going to get the Holy Spirit and all this stuff's going to happen just because you have you believe in Jesus. And hear me out before I say that. So, but Jesus gives a condition, doesn't he? He doesn't just say, everybody's going to get the Holy Spirit. He says, if you love me, keep my commands, and then I will give you the Spirit of truth. And if we go down to the end of that passage, whoever has my commands and keeps them is the one who loves me. The one who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love them and show myself to them. So you are, he says, if you keep his commands and do what he tells you, then that means you love him, and then he loves you, and the Father will love you. And he says he'll show himself to you. So what I'm talking about here, and I'm going to get into in a second, is you without obeying the commands of Christ, you cannot be his disciple, and you do not have the Spirit. So I want to turn to Hebrews and read what St. Paul says about this. And this is powerful language, but this is St. Paul speaking. He says, if we deliberately keep on sinning after we have received the knowledge of the truth, then no sacrifice for sin is left for you. So if you receive the knowledge of Christ and his death on the cross, but you choose to keep on sinning, then there's no sacrifice for you. That's what Paul says. So what does that mean? The scriptures give the will that God has for us, and it's clear on morality. And if you choose to deliberately, which means a lack of repentance, right? Repentance means you turn from your sin and choose to serve God. You can't also hold on to a sin and keep on deliberately doing it. If you do, you do not have the Spirit. Jesus said that. And Paul says there's no sacrifice of sin for you. And he goes on telling how even in the Old Testament, people who had disobeyed the law of Moses were prosecuted with three witnesses. Then he says, how much more severely do you think someone deserves to be punished who has trampled the Son of God underfoot and who has treated as an unholy thing the blood of the covenant that sanctified them and who has insulted the Spirit of grace? If you've heard of the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit, that's what he's speaking about. It's an unforgivable sin because it's a state that you're in. It's when you refuse to repent, you choose to serve a sin and refuse to turn from it and think you can have it both ways. Paul and Jesus are saying you can't have it both ways. Jesus said you cannot serve two masters. You either love the one and hate the other or serve the one and despise the other. So if we go on sinning deliberately, there's no sacrifice for sin for us. That's what the Bible says. Now, these are out of order because I gave this sermon this morning. There was a story right after the emancipation of slaves. I think it was about a year after. And in the South, slavery was culturally acceptable, right? And it was a very hard thing for them to give up. It was like all of a sudden they weren't allowed to do what everything was based on, and it was something that was accepted for their entire lives. And so there was a story of a minister who would have people over to his house, you know, and they'd walk up his stairs and hear noises under the porch, but be like, I don't know, I must be hearing things, you know, and keep on walking in. And it happened many times. And then one time a little child, I don't know what age, but it was a child, walked up and said, Pastor, what's that noise under your porch? Nothing, but the kid ran before he could say anything, because he's curious, ran down the stairs into the basement, found a locked door, and heard more noise and called his mom and dad down. And they went down and they forced him to show. And under the porch, he had slaves chained to the walls under his porch. And he had made them so they couldn't speak anymore, if you know what I mean, to keep them quiet. And that was something that was culturally acceptable. So what's the noise under your porch? See, God will not bless our actions and our lives or our church when we choose to sin, when we are deliberately go on sinning. So there's four things that I want to point out, largely because a couple of them I rarely hear. I mean, I don't hear in sermons very often, and the Bible is clear, and I see them accepted in our culture, and therefore starting to be accepted by the church, and sometimes just laughed at, but like totally accepted by the church and by Christians. And I'll get into what it was for me, why I was feeling that. And I was like seeking God, and God, what's going on? And I figured out that it was a sin that was I was calloused over, and I couldn't feel it anymore. I didn't know it was wrong. I mean, I did, but you know what I mean. I got calloused to it. And so I'm going to point out, bring those four. And some of you may feel convicted by some of these, and don't be mad at me. I'm just reading what the scripture says. And so the first one is one that's starting to affect the United Methodist Church in a very unique way. And that's fornication. The Bible describes fornication scripturally as any sexual relationship outside of marriage between a man and a woman. Jesus said, have you not read that in the beginning, God created them male and female. And the man will leave his mother and father and cleave to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. And any sexual relationship outside of marriage, whether it's homosexual or heterosexual, and there is no homosexual marriage scripturally, is fornication. And Paul says in 1 Corinthians that neither the sexually immoral, nor adulterers, nor those who practice homosexuality will enter the kingdom of heaven. So if you are choosing to continue in that kind of sin, any kind of sexual relation outside of marriage, and will not stop, then there's no sacrifice for sin for you. That's what the Bible says. The second one is gossip. And I've seen this in churches, like rampant, and I've seen it destroy churches. And the Bible says that if anyone thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his heart, this person's religion is worthless. Whoever slanders his neighbor secretly, I will destroy. That's God saying pretty strong language there. But it's something we've kind of, it's become culturally accepted, and it's come accepted in the church. Watching movies and listening to music that you wouldn't do with Jesus there. This is something Don's helped me with. You get callous to it. Your whole life, you start, and before you know it, you're watching stuff that's like degrades human life, is, you know, obscene language, sexual morality. I mean, it's like, but we get used to it, right? Listen to music that's got like, I listen to secular music, but I don't listen to stuff anymore that's like has a bad message to it or is about, you know, and so if we could, I don't care. I'm going to keep listening to it. Scripture is clear about that. And the last one is, the last one I'll mention today is, believe it or not, this is something that, this is what I want to tell you with me. So I was feeling all these feelings that I mentioned in the beginning. And my chiropractor, who's a Christian, mentioned that maybe it's sin. And I'm like, nah, you know. And I'm not committing any sin. You know what I mean? And then I was like, you know what? I'm going to pray about it and ask God to reveal if there's something. And there's two things. One, I kept driving Uber when God told me like 12 times that he wanted me to stop because I wasn't trusting him. I was trying to keep control of finances by working more and more and more, and it was never enough. I'm one of those people that goes a little too far, you know. And after two flat tires while driving Uber and after a couple other things, God practically, I mean, I don't know what else he had to do to tell me to stop, and I finally did. And the other one was, Don and I would sit and watch television, and I would get a whole bag of gluten-free, as I have celiac disease, gluten-free animal cookies, and I would eat the entire bag while watching TV in like 30 minutes. And now, you know, it's like, you know, what you know, so you like cookies. But the Bible is clear that gluttony is a sin. It says in Proverbs, do not join those who drink too much wine or gorge themselves on meat. Put a knife to your throat if you are given to gluttony. And that's a rampant thing in our culture, in churches. It's accept, it's all right. You know, no one's, and, but there's two principles behind it. And the one is greed, partaking of way more than you need, and also, this is the one that was especially for me, was in 1 Corinthians, Paul says, do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit? Therefore, he says, glorify God with your body. So the Holy Spirit dwells in you, and Paul tells us to glorify God with our physical bodies. And if the church really believed that and took it to heart, maybe we'd be the healthiest people in the country. So if we want God's blessing and the power of the Holy Spirit, as individuals and as a church, we must repent as individuals of habitual sin, sins that we kind of became okay with. And no amount of bishop votes or votes in conferences or any church changes what the Word of God says. And the Word of God is clear. Human popular vote does not change what God says in His Word. And so we have to make a decision as individuals and as a church. And right now, the Methodist Church, the bishops are proposing to the conference in 2019 that they let the conferences and individual churches decide whether they want to marry homosexuals and ordain them. So you guys are going to have to make a decision as a church in a few years. Where are you going to stand on this? Are you going to stand on the Word of God, or are you going to stand on popular culture? And the Bible says that if you call what is evil good and what is good evil, you are cursed. Strong language, but that's not me saying it again. So I want you to listen to Jesus one more time. If you love me, keep my commands, and I will ask my Father to give you an advocate to help you and be with you, the Spirit of truth. And Paul says in Romans, if you do not have the Spirit of Christ in you, then you do not belong to Christ. I just want to close by saying, I told the little kids about the Tide Pods and how you parents tell them things that you know are bad for them. And you do it because you love them, right? You want them to get hurt. God is the same way. These commands, those ones I told you, and all the commands in the Bible are there for your good. If you choose sin, you choose pain and hurt. So choose this day whom you will serve. Amen.